Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And once again, it's good to be with you this morning. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to live in America. What a blessed thing it is to live in the land of the free. And Lord, you've been so good to us. Thank you. Particularly here in the valley, Lord, what a beautiful place it is to live. Lord, just thank you for all your bountiful blessings. And as Lord, we take time this morning to turn our attention to your word, I'm asking you, Lord, that you allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us. Through your word, Father, would you give us truth that would help us to be what, Lord, we need to be, what we ought to be, and what you want us to be. Help us, Lord, enable us this morning. Father, give us the strength, give us the Holy Spirit, so that we can live, Father, in a way that would bring honor and favorable attention upon you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the process of going through the book of Proverbs, looking for biblical principles for practical living. I suppose I've said it on numerous times in the past as I've been going through this. I'm in the book of Proverbs 25, and I've been looking for biblical principles, just nuggets of truth tucked in the Bible about how to live our daily lives, how to handle situations as they come up, biblical principles for practical living. You know, there's a lot of heavy or weightier things in the Bible, I suppose, we could look at, doctrinal truths. But I'm not looking for those as I'm going through this. I'm just looking for the things that, those little nuggets of truth that every day you could put into practice. Some of which we may already be putting into practice, and that's a good thing. But others, perhaps, that maybe we've overlooked or we have since forgotten about and not given the attention that it requires and that's needed. And so the effort here is to remind us of things that either one we already know or things that perhaps we have let slip our mind, and to allow the Holy Spirit to remind us there's a principle in which we're to be living. There's a course of conduct, a parameter of thought process as we live our daily lives, and we're to live within that parameter of truth or live within that parameter of right and wrong. And so when we're looking through these, some of these will be pretty obvious, some are not quite as obvious. All of them are practical, and all of them are helpful, beneficial to us, and I suppose beneficial to others, and that's obviously a good thing. We're in chapter 25, verse 16. The Bible says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Now there's a little, perhaps a strange verse or a strange concept to think about this morning. Have you found some honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. In other words, just eat enough, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. What in the world is God saying to us? You know, you get thinking about it. You know, obviously honey's a good thing. Most of us like honey. Some eat it on toast, and I guess some put it in tea, and I guess all kinds of different applications for honey. The Bible says, have you found it? And if so, just eat enough that's sufficient. The concept here is pretty much this, that things that are of pleasure, we need to be in moderation. In other words, too much of a good thing is not good anymore. You know, we think that honey, and obviously it's sweet, something that's enjoyable, but if you eat too much of it, you're going to get sick, and it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to be of any benefit anymore. That sense of pleasure that it brought will soon be gone. And there's an application, there's a phrase that used to be around years ago, I suppose. Simply this: enough is as good as a feast. Enough is as good as a feast. You know, in our day and age, particularly we Americans, boy, I tell you what, we have the buffet and our, you know, large size meal and all those things. And, you know, sometimes we go overboard on our eating habits. We go overboard on our treats. But it's not just that it's talking about here. I think that application is true about the honey, obviously. But I think there's also another application that we could apply here, and that's anything in life that's good or that's pleasurable, you know, enough's as good as a feast. In other words, we don't have to go overboard with it. We don't have to be consumed by it. For example, I personally like to hunt. I enjoy bow hunting mostly. I enjoy muzzleloader hunting and different things, but you know, I need to understand in my life enough is good as a feast. In other words, I don't need to spend my 2 weeks of vacation hunting and leave my family home. I need to bring my family first. Hunting's okay. Having some pleasure is okay. Nothing wrong with having some R&R, rest and relaxation. But enough is as good as a feast. If I have a rifle to go hunting, and it shoots straight, and it serves me well, you know, I don't need another four or five rifles to be able to hunt. Enough's as good as a feast. Now, I'm not saying it's sinful for anybody to have more than one rifle, but I'm just saying all of us ought to consider, am I going overboard with this? Am I taking this pleasure that I enjoy, and am I making it or taking it to the excess? And not compared to anybody else, not anybody else's place to tell us, but it's God's place to tell us. And so each one of us ought to ask the Lord, am I going too far in this thing that I enjoy, this thing that is sweet to me, this thing that brings me pleasure? Enough ought to be as good as a feast. Lord, have I taken it beyond that? And so that would be a good practical application of this. That would be a good principle. The things that we enjoy, enough is as good as a feast. But you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can't just get enough of it. I can't get enough of it. And we got to go more and more and more and get more and more and more and more. And you know, sometimes we get in that perpetual state of more and more and bigger and shinier newer and newer. And you know, after a while, we need to stop and say, you know what? Enough is as good as a feast, and be satisfied and content with what God has provided for me. And that's just a good principle. It has its application, can go from A to Z. And may God allow the Holy Spirit to make a practical application of that in your heart and in my heart today as well. Let's drop down to verse number 17, another principle. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. One of the interesting things about the book of Proverbs, sometimes, you know, you're on one subject and you go to the next verse and you're completely in a different world. In verse 16, we're talking about honey and not eating too much of it. In verse 17, we're talking about withdrawing your foot from your neighbor's house. Biblical principles for practical living. Here's one that would all do us well. You know, there is the possibility of you and I, of, as we would say of old time, overstaying our welcome. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. We need to be mindful of our friends' personal lives. We need to be careful with their time. You know, sometimes we can be presumptuous. Years ago, we had a young man in our church. He was a handicapped man, and I got to, I would pick him up and take him to church, and I would pick him up during the week, take him different places. And, of course, in the event of all those things, we, from time to time, would often go out and grab a bite to eat. And, of course, he was, he would remind me he was hungry and he didn't have any money, so I'd buy him something. And that got to be something that he began to take advantage of. And we would pull up somewhere. Instead of ordering just a simple meal, he would want the biggest thing they had and the biggest order of fries and the biggest drink. And I sort of set him down one day, and I explained to him, I said, you are being presumptuous with my money. Because there were a number of times where he would just order the biggest thing he'd get and assuming that I had the money to pay for it. And I told him one day I didn't have any cash. He says, well, you have your credit card. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. What was he doing? He was being presumptuous with my money. You know, sometimes we can be presumptuous with people's time. Show up unannounced. I suppose every once in a while it's not bad. But, if you do it repeatedly over and over and over and over and over, you need to be careful. And I understand that we human beings, we sometimes have some really close friendships, and we enjoy those, and perhaps we could have more liberty with those and others. But even with that, even with those special relationships, we still need to be careful. We still need to be mindful. There is a biblical principle: withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. In other words, God's saying, listen, you know, enough is as good as a feast here as well. Here's a pleasure with good friendship. But you know, enough is good as a feast here. In other words, don't overstay your welcome. Don't wear your welcome out, as I remember hearing it being said when I was a young boy. Don't wear your welcome out. And we need to be careful that we're not abusing or being presumptuous with our friends, with their time and their homes. And may God give us wisdom and discernment here. It would have, I think, more to do with showing up unexpectedly, unannounced, as opposed to somebody inviting you over repeatedly. Obviously, if they've invited you over, they want you there. But just to show up unannounced, uninvited, repeatedly over and over and over, if you're not careful, God is saying, listen, you can ruin a good thing. And I don't think any of us wants to ruin a good friendship that we have. So God, may he give us wisdom in this as well. We go over to verse number 18. And then here's another one. A man that beareth witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Here's an interesting thought here. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor. In other words, you say something that isn't true. God says he's like a maul, a sword, or a sharp arrow. You think about a maul and a sword, a sharp arrow, you think of things that can cause injury, cause harm. Well, that's what a person does when he bears false witness against his neighbor. I wanted to bring this one out, this principle here. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can repeat something about a friend. I don't think the neighbor here means the guy that lives next door to you, you know, 45 feet away or 100 yards away. I think it means anybody. Your neighbor, somebody you know. When you hear something about somebody and it's not true, or you don't know that it's true, and you repeat it, you know, you might be being that bearer of false information. You know, and you can bring great harm. You can be like a maul or a sword or a sharp arrow to somebody's testimony. You can bring great harm to them. You can bring injury to them. How many of us who are listening to me today have been on the receiving end of those types of things, and where our reputation was hurt and harmed because somebody spoke loosely or without proper care about us? Well, if that can happen about us, certainly we can be the ones that makes it happen to someone else. And so may God give us wisdom. Here's a biblical principle. Don't do that. Don't bear false witness against neighbor. If you don't know it to be absolutely factual, don't say it. Be careful, because we can be the source of great harm or injury to our neighbors. And I think we would obviously not want to do that, but one of the ways we can prevent that is simply this. Don't bear false witness. Be careful what you say. Make sure it's factual. Make sure it has truth in it. And may the Lord give us wisdom. Well, let's get one more verse here. Going down sort of rapidly this morning, the Bible says in verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. It's an interesting portion of scripture here, how that four verses changes the subject so much. One's talking about honey and too much of it. One's talking about withdrawing your foot from your neighbor's house. The last verse says don't bear false witness. You're like a maul, a sword, a sharp arrow. And we're changing gears completely. And confidence in an unfaithful man in time of troubles is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. What do you think about a broken tooth, a foot out of joint? You know, you go to step down on that foot that's broken, and that time when you need it, what's it do? It buckles up underneath you, causes pain, and causes you to collapse. That broken tooth, you go to bite down on it, and next thing you know, oh, the excruciating pain as it perhaps breaks apart and the nerve endings are exposed. In other words, that time where you go to use it and you need it, boy, it brings you great, great pain. Well, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble, in other words, when you need him, and if he's unfaithful, he's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. So obviously we need to be careful who we depend upon. But let's make another application and perhaps one that's even more useful to us. We need to make sure that we are not that unfaithful man when somebody's counting on us to do something, when somebody has called upon us to be there, to fill in for the class, to show up, to get the job done. We need to make sure we're not like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint, where we end up causing a bunch of pain, a bunch of unnecessary agony in times of need, in times of trouble. We need to make sure we're not like that kind of person. And we need to make sure we are faithful. We need to make sure we will do what we said we'll do. We'll be where we said we will be. We will accomplish what we have said we will get done and get accomplished. And, you know, as there's a biblical principle, just do what you've said you're going to do. Be a faithful man. Be a faithful woman. Don't be unfaithful. Don't be undependable. Make sure you can be trusted and be counted on. Somebody needs your help. Somebody's leaning upon you. Somebody's counting on you. Make sure you're not a broken tooth. Make sure you're not a foot out of joint so that they don't have even more troubles in time of need. And that's a good way to look at it. May God help us all to say, Lord, you know what? I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be somebody who can be counted on and depended on. And may God help us to do that. Four verses, four complete different principles, but I dare say there's an application for all of those in our lives this morning. I thank you for taking time for listening, and you have a great day.